Excuse me, I wanted to remind everyone this call is being recorded. If you need assistance, press star zero. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. On today's call, we have Alexei Zosanov, we have Ken Bauer, Avery Doria, Greg Ruth, and we have myself, Gisela Gruber-White, and I believe...
Subaya is here.
Subaya has just joined.
Just joined.
Thank you. Apologies, we have Ilya Bazyankov, J. Scott Evans, and Jonas Soininen. Thank you. Roll call finished.
I'm sorry, those were apologies, right?
Yes, apologies.
Okay.
And Liz Gaster has just joined as well.
Okay.
Hello. Long wait dialing in.
Yeah, I had the same thing as well. 5-6 minute wait.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a half a dozen more that'll be joining
us
shortly. All right, well, this is Ken. I guess I'll just substitute a little bit here for Jay Scott, who is not going to join us today. Let's see. I've sent a couple of emails off to the list basically summarizing the activity since our last call, which, gosh, was back in early May.
Yeah.
And the idea was that we were supposed to have had a consensus call after working on the outlines that week following the last conference call. And, of course, that didn't happen, and then in the intervening period, I think folks just sort of lost track of where we were and what we were supposed to do, and all of us were, I'm sure, busy doing other things. And as a result, the sub-teams didn't have calls, and things got organized about the third week of that interlude, and the as I mentioned in an email, the charter sub-team had a session. And Avery, Graham, Cheryl Langdon Orr, and I actually made a tremendous amount of progress going through the outline and cleaning up all of the comments, making decisions about what was in, what was out, restructuring the outline, and so forth. And I'm happy to, or maybe Avery would be amenable to going through that and telling the group where that document now stands and what our next steps are. The operating model team, I don't believe, has had any further meetings, and I haven't seen any activity on the list.
Yep.
And so we probably need to figure out how to juice that back up.
Okay. I sent an email out. Remember, there was this by on the 13th, there was a cutoff date asking for consensus if there are going to be any changes in the document. That was the original thing. I sent an email out, and I made some changes, but I had no responses from anybody else, and then the call also didn't happen, so that's where I sit in.
Okay. Well, what do folks want to do?
I mean, what we're talking about now, just so that I get this right, is on the operating model to clean it up so that it's a higher level draft than it is right now. Is that correct?
Let me, you know what, let me take a shot at describing what happened with the charter sub-team, Subaya and others, and maybe that will...
I wouldn't want to surrender an excess of work time from our side.
Okay,
then that's... Sounds like somebody's not muted.
That's all right. let me just give you a sense of what took place with the charter sub-team. And that might be an indication, because candidly, just before that call with Avery, Graham, or myself, you know, I was really in my own mind quite unclear as to how we were going to reconcile all the many comments, some of which seemed like they were in 180-degree, you know, variants of each other and all that. And I thought, wow, this is going to be really hard. But as it turned out, you know, we started at the very top, you know, looked at each element of the outline, had some preliminary discussions around, you know, again, looking at what was the mission, who was the audience, what was the essential purpose, and as a result of some dialogue, we were able to break the outline into two big pieces. I ended up making three sections out of it. One that was sort of an implementation set of guidelines that would be for sponsoring or chartering organizations guidelines around implementing the working teams. And then the second section, which was the meat of the templates for the actual draft charter guidelines. These would be the set of instructions, if you will, that guide anybody who wants to build a real charter. And that activity is out on the wiki. If you go to the working group team page. Right at the very front of it is I put the new charter outline at the top. Does anybody not know where that is? I think I put it in the last email. I put all the links in.
Yeah, I printed up the link.
I could just sort of walk through this generally, and then Subhaya, you were the last chair, so to speak, quote unquote, of the operating model team, and maybe this will be illustrative. So what I did was all the stuff that was on this page before is now parked in another page, and you'll see that in the first participant note. So anybody who wants to go back and look at what was done prior to that, you can simply click on that link, take you right back to the other page. And I really didn't do any substantive editing at all to that page. I took everything and rebuilt it all new onto this page based on a suggestion that Aubrey made, which made great sense to me. On the 9th or so, about 5 days after we met, I was able to get all the notes that I had taken from the call and created a synthesized outline that's essentially reconstituted. And so I'm calling this version 1 of the Working Groups Implementation and Charter Drafting Guidelines, which is indeed a mouthful. We'll put a table of contents in, but for now, there'd be an introductory section, which you'll see. And then the document is broken up into three sections. Section 1 contains background information and material that relates. We were calling it on our call meta-information. It's information about working groups, not specifically related to the building of a real charter with real sections in it. So all of that generic material is now in Section 1. Section 2, though, is precisely the template material so every section there is intended to be a potential section in a real charter that would be given to a particular working group. And then Section 3, I just tucked in there as an amendments or revisions table for the purposes of keeping track of document control and versioning. And then what we did in addition is we went through the outline. Okay, once we figured out that as we went to a certain section, we said, all right, that's a meta issue, right? And we popped that up into a different section. And so we were doing a little of that kind of crafting work as we went through. The second thing we did with each element of the outline is we asked ourselves, does this need to be in there? And if it does, we said a few words about what we thought it should be, and I took the notes. So what you see now here, starting with Section 1.0 General, there would be a background section in the outline, a section that deals with the revisions that, you know, making the document a living guideline. And Aubrey, I see, has already added some notes here. That's good, which weren't there the last time I looked. And on it goes. And then we have Section 2 that deals with the working group implementation, and then Section 2, which is the working group charter template, another introduction, starting then with Section 1, working group identification. So these would now be sections of the real charter. So, you know, there'd be first is, the, you know, what is the name of the working group and who's the appointed chair and so forth and so on, all that kind of information. Then Section 2 deals with mission, purpose, and deliverables. Section 3, formation, staffing, and organization. But the outline is now all cleaned up, and what I've tried to do is to put at least a paragraph underneath each one that says what that section will actually look like when it's fully drafted. So I'm going to stop instead of going through all this. You can read through this outline, and I'll when I get a chance, I'll look at Aubrey's latest set of notes to see if they change anything.
Okay. Can I say something? This is Subhaya here.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm just trying to get this down to a task that's completable, okay? So I'm just trying to, you know, hone down on that without worrying about, you know, opinions or anything here, okay? So I see that what you have produced is, in substance, about 2.5 pages of text, correct? I mean, roughly, for the charter group, correct? I'm now taking a look at what I have on the working group side, our last pass on it, okay? I look at it. It's probably about 2, 3, maybe 4 pages long, possibly, maybe a bit longer even. You know, it might be 5, including our comments and stuff. Okay, so it's a little bit longer than this one. Okay. Now, from my understanding, Scott Evans' point by giving that 13th deadline was some kind of, you know, deadline where by that point, if anybody wanted to introduce new points in, or take points out or make suggestions, they ought to have done so by then. Is that my understanding? I mean, they'll have a chance to object later on and so on, but for now, this is what's on the page is what needs to be drafted up. Is that a fair statement, Ken? Is that how we were proceeding with this?
With your disclaimer that those that haven't commented may have a right to do so later, I guess.
You see,
yeah.
I mean, there are two ways to proceed with this. I actually, you know, I still think there's, you know, personally, I think that the discussion wasn't finished as far as, you know, getting this together. But, you know, the chair said, look, this is a hard deadline. Please get your points in, and then that's what we're going to work with for now, right? And so if that's the view we're going for, and also we are also looking at the point of getting something done, then the easier task would be, if we agree to do this, is to say, hey, let's take these 4 or 5 pages. Everything here for now is cast in stone. Everything in is in. Everything out is out. Okay. All right. Then it's just a matter of, you know, sitting down and cleaning this up so that maybe, you know, a page out of the 5 pages will be taken out, be cleaned up, and put in some format like what you've done for the charter group, pretty much reorganized and everything. But nothing in substance being changed, anything. Nope. Every point being in there or a point that wasn't in there, not in there still, you know. And just recreating it to get it something done, you know, that's an easier task, right? I mean, that's a finite task that can be done, you know, potentially not with, you know, there's no need. It would be nice if all of us were on the call to be able to do it, but it looks clearly like we're not. So if that's the task that we need to do, then that's a task that, you know, in a way got profitably done because on your charter call there's just a few of you, right? And
Okay.
So my suggestion is, you know, I'm committed, you know, we can try to do it now, we can try to go through some of this, but I do know that if the few people were in a room together and tasked to do this face-to-face, just sit there and do it in an hour or two, you know, we could probably get it done. I mean, so I'm thinking, you know, I mean, it's okay if we want to get it done on this call, that's perfectly fine, we can try, but I'm thinking if on that Sunday I'm going to be there, but if enough of us are there, a few of us at least, then we can commit that Sunday afternoon or whatever it is for a couple of hours to sit there in Sydney and get it just done, you know, and then put it, serve it up to everybody as, hey, this is the, nothing's changed, but this is just the rewritten version of what everybody kind of finalized on before. Then let's open it up for more discussion. I don't know. That's a choice, but I'm also open to getting it done now, but, you know, but for me personally, After the next day and a half, I'm off to 2 or 3 countries, and then I end up in Sydney. So it's going to be very difficult for me to work online during the next several days, but I can more than willing to do whatever is necessary today. Any thoughts, anyone?
Yes, Vaya, this is Konstantinos. Hello, all employees delayed. I think that it would be better to go for the second suggestion. Sitting right now and going through everything, it's a huge task. And we can circulate an email to the operations team saying that for the people who are not going to be in Sydney, they have the last chance to make any additions that they want, and then we can task whoever it is in Sydney. I won't be, for example, but I've made my insertions to summarize it and produce it to the rest of the team.
Okay, do we have any idea who's going to be in Sydney?
I know that Caroline is going to be there from the operations team.
Yeah,
Caroline is definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
Even if you manage to wrap it up as a polished document right now, probably it's worthwhile for the rest of us who will still be in Sydney to get together again, you know, because, you know, and talk anyway. So to meet is probably, for those who are in Sydney, is a given. The only question is what we do there. So Caroline is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Anyone else in this call that's certainly going to be there? I mean, Ken is there, obviously, and Liz probably.
This is Greg. I'm going to be there.
Who's that?
Greg.
Oh, Greg. Yeah, Greg's going to be there. And I guess Arby will be there, right?
Yeah,
and this is great. This is Greg Chinaworth. I'll be there as well.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Greg.
Okay.
What about Tim? I think that also Tim is going to be there. Tim Ruiz.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, most of the council members will be there. I expect Jay Scott will be there, although I haven't heard for sure. I expect most people will be there. When exactly they're all free.
Okay. Is that time slot, people are aware of that time slot, right? That evening of the Sunday, I guess, from 4 to 5 or something. Is that Ken?
Yes. In fact, I was going to bring this up a little later on the call.
Okay.
Liz and I and Marika and a few others were actually talking a little bit from a staff point of view as to how we might use the time in Sydney productively. And it was my suggestion that, in fact, for the working group team, it might be useful for us to work in sub-teams rather than as a larger team, right?
Right.
And that's essentially, Sabaya, I think what you're advocating as well is that use the time to clean up the outline, and then after Sydney we can begin drafting work. Now, on the charter side, you know, we will have already started drafting work, but it won't be finished, I don't think, by Sydney unless I get a huge block of time available.
And in terms of scheduling, I don't know if this has gotten through to everyone, because of the way the schedule worked out on Saturday, in terms of basically being in GTLD discussions almost all day, we're only using one out of two rooms. So if there are groups of people that aren't totally smitten with the subject of new GTLDs, there's actually a room that can be used and space that can be arranged. I know most people are smitten with GTLDs, so it's hard to get together, but there is space, room, and time.
Right. So maybe what we should try to do is take the two suggestions that were just made right now, which is one, you know, we should make it very clear that between now and Sydney, if anybody else, you know, by email to whoever is not here, or anyone here too, to get in their comments if they want to, you know, in this moving document. And that's the last, you know, because in Sydney we're going to finalize at least this version of it. Okay. So now, we need to take care of sending that email out, me or Ken or someone. Okay. So we'll do that. Now, I suppose the other thing then is, I guess with the few of us here, there's a commitment of at least a few of us turning up in Sydney. I mean, I'd imagine there's four or five people at least that we know will turn up, because, you know, I don't think we want to be in the position of getting to Sydney and finding that it's, you know, just two of us, Ken and someone else, two people running it, right? We want to make sure there's a group of us who can stand by it. So we need to make sure of that. I believe right now it looks like that's going to happen. Now, the third thing is that maybe then what to do with this current call, perhaps what we can do at least is make a pass on the working group document and try to organize it at least by bullet points into the three sections that Ken was suggesting, so it makes it similar to the charter one, is that at least get that step of overall, you know, parsing it so that we can shove it into different sections and maybe even go through it and clean up a few things that we may think are inappropriate or whatever. Is that a fair thing to try to do, Ken?
Well, I don't know that the sectioning idea necessarily applies in the operating model guidebook. We actually had two logical types that were built
into
the original outline, and what we did, and this was a kind of an aha moment for me, through the discussion, we discovered that we really had two logical types of information in the outline, and it made sense to put them into section one for one type and section two for the other. In the operating model, I'm not sure that we have that same kind of circumstance, but if we did, then yeah, that would make sense to do.
So I'm just trying to see how we can be productive with the current time we have. So one thing is to, you know, try to overview it and try to, you know, pause it in the section. If that is not a reasonable thing to try to do, at least then we can try to take at least one of the sections here. You know, there are several sections here, five sections. At least pick one and try to structure in a way towards what we want it to look like post Sydney. You know, right now, and see, you know, it's sort of a model of what we want to do. Is that a fair thing to try to do?
Not sure.
I didn't understand, Subaya. Can you repeat that?
No, I'm just saying that I'm not sure whether we'll have the time, I mean, in this call to go through the whole thing and, you know, rewrite the whole thing the way we want it to be, the way that, you know, Ken's got his charter stuff, Ken and Avery and all that, others have got the charter stuff too, okay? So I'm thinking that if there's no need to reorganize the whole thing in different overview sections, because as Ken points out, then perhaps what we can do as a model, as a template, pick one of the sections here. There's the general, there's the roles and responsibilities and so on. Just pick one right now and start working on it, at least as a sort of a model or a template, you know, so that we can have something done now, and then we'll continue with the other sections in Sydney. Any idea? At least we'll have some kind of template form so we'll know what to think about when we get into Sydney.
Sounds like a good idea.
Sure, you want to lead us through it, Savoy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're going to help me here, so let's go. Sure. Let's start with any potluck. Should we go with general or just jump into one of the more meaty ones? I mean, I don't know. Any ideas?
I think we can probably skip the general stuff. I mean,
both
documents will have a section that discusses you know, the background, the purpose, the audience, and that sort of thing. And
you know what?
I can probably even pull from material that if we get ahead if one document gets ahead of the other, we can share alike.
Okay.
Yeah, I can imagine it'd be two paragraphs of blah blah, where one would be almost identical and one would be specific to each of the docs.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. To me, it seems that the easier ones to pull out, I mean, more straightforward things here, might be either the roles and responsibilities or the norms. Is that a fair statement that we could work on? Either one of those two, I think, be it simpler in terms of thinking about. Maybe not norms. Probably roles and responsibilities might be because the norms have all kinds of voting issues and stuff, right? So roles and responsibilities?
Sure.
Okay. So let's start. And I guess we have, I'm just looking at my screen, about 2 pages worth. We have altogether 2.4 points, okay? So the first one seems to be introductions and team formation. Okay, can everyone, I mean, I guess everyone, is there anyone who doesn't have it in front of them? Some reason,
don't
be shy. I can send the link, or one of us can. Everybody's got it?
Which way do you find it in the tree? Can somebody quickly tell me where the tree trunk is?
So
you go from improvements to where?
PPSC, then to work team.
Okay,
working
group team. Okay, cool.
In fact, on the master GNSO site, gnso.icann.org, Glenn has now created on the left side actually spots for each of the teams, all five. You can get to it that way also.
Yeah. I have it here, the link, if anybody wants. I can Skype it over to
Chuba, if you could send it to me so I could make it.
Okay. All right, yeah. Okay, Alexei, here it is.
Thank you.
Okay, and the others who have it in front of them, maybe you want to scan and start reading the 2.1, I guess.
It might help just to take a moment and recalibrate ourselves on what the general purpose or intent was of these two different documents, right? One of them is the audience was intended to be a sponsor or chartering organization that is going to charter a working group, right? So there's a set of things that they need to think about. And this whole project, this whole working group team project that we're on, is essentially to take what the BGC said in its report back in 2008 and try to help the entire GNSO move toward a working group model in most, or if not all, of its endeavors where a community needs to participate.
And, can I make two comments on that?
Yeah, before you do, up till now, the GNSO certainly has adopted working groups, and there have been many that have already been chartered and worked, but there hasn't been any formality yet around around that. It's been, and that's, I think, the intent of this team was to create the formality around it. Yeah, go ahead, Avi.
Okay, I had two things. One was, I'm always a little cautious when we talk about the audience for these, because I think there's quite a diverse audience, from people participating, people chartering, people who are saying, how do these things work anyway? So I think there's a very large audience, and we need to keep that in mind. The other thing I'm hoping is that we don't assume that the working group model that we've currently got, albeit informal, that it's sort of been evolving in a natural way, is something to just be, oh, okay, that was just temporary, and now we're going to do this whole new thing. So I worry a little when we think about there being a large division between the fact that the GNSO is already doing working groups and the fact that we want to formalize what they're doing and maybe add a few more constraints. But I really hope we're not, you know, coming up with something out of the blue when we obviously have some notion of working group that's working.
Okay. So is there a definitive document besides the general statements that the board gave us to go do this, a definitive statement of how the working groups work today? I mean, something we can actually physically
There's the template stuff that's in the charter.
Okay.
That gives some few clues. And then, no, there's just looking at how they're working.
Okay. Maybe my suggestion is this, that perhaps what we do is we work with this the way we're going forward, but then we appoint a member of us, one of us, whose job is just specifically to compare that with what we're doing to keep us in line. Does that make sense? And maybe the natural suggestion is Aubrey, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'll always comment like I do. I certainly comment every time.
Formalize that process so that we all understand that, hey, Arby's job is to let us know whenever we are deviating so much, and then we have to assess whether we want to deviate that much or not.
Yeah.
Because that way, it wouldn't just seem as, you know, Arby coming up with an opinion, but rather, hey, her formal role is to make sure these two things are, and then she can flag it. Seems fine? I mean, I think that's okay.
I would name it as, perhaps I'll try to name discontinuity.
Okay. All right. Okay. And then we know whenever you mention that word, then we know that's what we're referring to. Okay. All right. So now I have a question regarding one of your comments here. We really need to get the depth of chair will introduce people. I didn't quite understand what you meant by that in your comment on the...
Okay. Which?
Above the word introduction.
Above the word introduction.
Under 2.1.
Under 2.1. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Yes. If anyone else understands what it means, just let me know.
Yeah, I have to understand what I wrote while I was sitting in an airport reading these things. I don't think I put that okay exclamation point at the end.
Oh, really? Okay. So there's two culprits.
Oh, I think I was asking, do we really need to get to this depth of specificity where the chair starts out by introducing people? And perhaps we do. I guess, and maybe I did put the okay. It just seemed like, you know, I will introduce people and you will do this. And so I was just asking, do we really need to get to this level of detail? And if so, fine, you know.
I'm okay with either, but just as a sort of a compromise in case that, you know, we want to take out Avery's point and include it. A compromise could be the chair simply makes sure at the first meeting that, you know, formally asks and takes a vote almost, you know, make sure that all the team members have not only provided the material, but the rest of the people have, you know, read the other team members' views or whatever. But the purpose of the introduction is to share it, right? So then one way of getting around that is to simply for the chair to simply say, look, have you all read each other's, you know, stuff? And please, you know, confirm that you have before we move on. I don't know. That's a compromise. Anyway, open to discussion.
The other question I had is under the second bullet, 2 and 3, where you know, the team members have to apply and have to give a resume and show what they've done. And then the third point, to actually have to show how they have benefited an organization in the past. I thought these things were kind of like open, and now we're sort of saying people have to prove themselves to be in a working group. I question that.
Which one are you referring again, Avery?
2 and 3.
I'm questioning the second bullet under introductions.
No.
I mean, certainly the first bullet seems fine. Yeah. Everyone has to sign a declaration of interest, the disclosures, and that everybody's read and seen and all that stuff. That one seems good. The second part where we do, you know, it's almost like the beginning of an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting.
There's a distinction between 2 and 3. 2 is only coaxing you because it just should be encouraged. 3 is more, you know, demanding. It says demonstrate out there. I think that at the very least, 3 needs to be toned down to be like 2.
Let me just add again. I think it's always helpful to understand the purpose of our document, who its intended audience is, and so forth. You know, the charter guideline, the charter document, is going to have in it membership criteria that the sponsor or chartering organization has stipulated, if there is any, right? And if there isn't, and it's open, it's open. So when we're talking now to the chair and working group members of somebody that's already been chartered, right?
Okay.
So we're trying to find what are the guidelines, what are the things that this working group needs in order to form itself and organize itself to accomplish its task that would not otherwise be provided in the charter. So I'm sort of agreeing here with Aubrey, I think, and others that we probably don't want much material in this section that qualifies members that will have already been taken into account.
Maybe I have a suggestion. I mean, I don't know who introduced the 2 and 3, but in support of whoever did, you know, I'm suggesting we could change this around a little bit so it satisfies both ends. Just to say that to recraft 2 and 3, to use some of the same language, right, the same points, but to combine them together and say, with the purpose of making sure, I mean, the wording should be the purpose, the reason you're encouraged to talk about this and tell us about what you know, whatever, demonstrate, you know, to show, in order that we can assign, we can learn more about you and be able to assign you to the right tasks within, you know, to select the right tasks within the committee or the group to go forward. You understand? I mean, it's more learning
more
about someone else.
A team building sort of comment that
correct,
is
yes.
A
so
qualifying
right.
thing.
That it's worth knowing for these things. If you're good at Excel, well, no, you'll be the one doing the spreadsheets, right? So if we can, you know, change the two together. So that way, it's, you know, there's no emphasis. And if people, I mean, there is some relevance for people in a functioning committee. I think even if it's not stipulated, if we know nothing about everybody else, then it's kind of not that efficient to work together. Knowing somebody, people's backgrounds helps you work better. But I think we know all that. The question is, you know, should we stipulate it in very strong ways? So this could be a sort of a reminder, maybe, to the extent that, hey, if you know something else, don't let us know, as opposed to any kind of qualification. I don't know. Any thoughts on that, if we just recrafted something like that?
Just one thought. I mean, to me it's relevant because the chair or the head of the working group is going to need to know whether or not they have everyone on board that they need to get on board, right? That's one of these things. So, and it also allows everyone else to know that the chair has gotten everyone all the skill sets on board that they need to get on board. So to me, it really is only relevant. It's only necessary to the extent that the charter outlines specific skill sets that must be a part of the working group, because that way it allows some kind of accountability where the charter says, hey, you've got to have X, Y, and Z skills. Now we have people who are stepping up and saying, I have X, Y, and Z skills. So to me, it really is of greatest importance when there is a charter reference to a skill set. Once you get beyond the charter reference to a skill set, then I think it may be helpful, may not be helpful. So to me, it's that kind of threshold where if there's something in the charter which says certain skill sets are required, if you have one of those skill sets, we are asking you to make it known so that we can know whether or not we have all the people on the team that we need. Because if we don't get the people on the team that we need, then we may not be able to move forward with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so are you kind of saying that there should be a self-introduction with reference to interests and skill sets?
Exactly, and that references, like, that's tied to, that the most relevant portion of that information is going to be information that's tied to the charter for the working group.
So how about these clauses? Self-introduction based on skill sets tied to any specific skills outlined in the original charter and the formation of this group, refer to so-and-so, and some examples of what you might want to share are, you know, blank, blank. It could involve some the diminutive versions of 2 and 3.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that those should be, but that's the reasoning behind why we have that in there.
Is that satisfactory, Avery? Something like that?
I'm only one opinion. I was comfortable until you got to the examples would include, you know, how you did a good job at your company. I thought the first part was really cool. The second part seemed like it was going, and that was kind of what I meant by my introductory question is, how deep do we need to go in this?
Okay, anyone else?
It should be pretty shallow, right? I mean, it's like, we don't need to require people to write a full biography for this thing.
Number 3 seems biographical to me.
You know, it's like, hey, look, on the charter it says they need someone with experience in, you know, networking, right? Oh, I have experience in networking, boom. You know, and since no one's going to actually check on these things, right, so if you put that you're an awesome person, you know, like, hey, I built the Eiffel Tower. I'm really good at constructing things. Like, no one's going to go out and verify whether or not you built the Eiffel Tower, right? So it's really, you know, I think the burden of describing it, you know, is going to be the veracity of whether or not someone has the skill that they say they have is going to be borne out by their participation and not by any analysis of that statement.
Oh, yeah, and there's always the giggle test.
Joining the working group.
Anyone else, any comments, I think, with some kind of middle line approach that we just talked about? Okay. If none, then I guess, Ken, we can note that down, and then we'll work on it to rewrite. I don't think we should get into the nitty-gritty of rewriting it right now on the spot, but I think we know what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, Ken?
I agree.
Okay, and then we can move forward. I think that there's a comment after that. I think we should also add, demonstrate how the activities work, facilitate policy making, and contribute to the overall development of the Internet. Now, the person who made that comment, would that be, Constantine, would that be okay that we, would you consider that being rolled into what we've already discussed?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay. Then we can move on to the next bullet point, which is the self-selection application. Might require to have evidence of their representation and performance in the particular self-selected field. I guess that also has to be, do we want to leave it the way it is or tone it down slightly in view of what we've just discussed?
Evidence is such a hard word.
Okay. Yeah.
So, any suggestions here?
Maybe if we want to have anything, you know, self-selection might require a statement, you know.
Okay.
I guess, as I say.
Charter guidelines will establish that statements of interest are required.
Right. You know, and the skill set thing is such a cultural thing. I mean, you know, being in Sweden, you know, you look at resumes from a Swede, you look at resumes from an American, and any time you compare them, well, the Swede has never done anything because they don't boast, whereas in the U.S. we boast. So when you're looking at this kind of criteria in a cross-cultural perspective, it really becomes problematic because, you know, if you come from a non-boastful culture, you're always going to say, well, you know, I played with protocols a little bit, even though you may have written 17 of them, whereas a U.S. person might say, you know, and I've created, you know, the greatest protocol in the world, Well, even though they were a co-author with four other authors of one non-successful protocol. So it's one of those things that you really have to be very careful with in this, you know, part of statement of your skill level in terms of trying to make something that is weighable, because that becomes problematic and on a cross-cultural level.
This is Ken. I think if we just keep the understanding of the title here, which is introduction, the purpose of this section would be really just to so that the team and the chair and all the members understand what resources and capabilities that they have. So it's, if we keep the idea of introduction in mind and not qualification, no one's trying to do an interview to see whether they get accepted onto the team, right? Then maybe we'll stay clear of language that makes it sound like somebody has to prove something.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we? Yeah, go ahead. Anyone else?
Yeah, I was just going to say this. It's really like the application may, you know, just to continue. It maybe even it may really even get rid of this bullet and make it a number four, and then it says something like, you know, and also list any other relevant experiences you have that may be relevant in the context of ICANN or something like that.
Oh, you know, kind of so that the chair and the team could channel your resources in the right whatever direction. I mean, your abilities in the right direction in terms of the team.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Sort of, again, saying that this information is needed to appoint you to a specific task, sort of. Okay, I think that, to me, it seems like rolling it out 2.4 would also be, I mean, you know, since, you know, considering that we're amalgamating all this, that might also make it cleaner, simpler, neater, unless someone has a severe objection to that. Anyone? Okay, no? And I guess the words like require probably will have to go, right? I mean, the whole point is not to say require, right? Unless it is in connection with a specific instruction already in the charter with regard to this, right? I mean, if it's the instruction in the charter says, look, you know, we need somebody with a bachelor's degree in this, right, from an Ivy League institution, okay?
But
if it says, then that has to be, you know, a requirement, right? I mean, in the level.
Well, I don't even think that needs to be a requirement, because that's like a pulling. So if no one wants to elect to say that they have an Ivy League degree,
yeah, okay. No. Well, what I meant is that if it was a requirement in the charter, then you know, if in the charter above it had already been a requirement for the selection process, then it's something that you may ask to see here, but not for any other instance, right? Unless it's not specifically required in the overriding charter.
I guess that kind of criteria is obvious that you're doing in an absurdum. One place where you may have criteria, and I don't know if it comes later, is certainly if there are some invited experts. Mm-hmm. And as if we say, this team needs an expert in how IETF working groups work, then it certainly makes sense to ask the invited expert, you know, please tell us why you're an expert. But I think in terms of the normal participant, that becomes much less relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't think you'd ever have a situation where you would require anyone to say anything. Basically, it's like, you know, because this is all volunteer stuff, so if someone wants to participate, then they can, I mean...
No. I mean, that's not
to say anything, so...
No, right.
But I think we're on the same page. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're on the same page. I'm just leaving a legal clause in case the overriding charter that we have no control of says do something, right? Then you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, yeah, okay. So other than that, there's no reason to put the words like require in the stronger terms there. So are we in some kind of consensus on that now? To put that into a four and roll it down and kind of make it simpler along those lines and tie it back to a specific task and remove the require and stuff like that? Okay, I guess. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Anyone? Okay. If everyone's agreed, then I guess, Ken, are we okay with that one? We can work on that. Either now or in Sydney, you know, to clean that up to make it like that. Okay. So, I'm just serially reading this. I'm reading Ken's comment here. The next one, this is KB.
You can skip that.
Oh, you can. I can skip that. Okay.
That was all the discussion we just had.
Okay. Good. Great. Okay.
I was just making the same observation.
I'm just going through seriously.
This material doesn't belong in this section. It's,
okay. Good. Good. Good.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm just in operational mode here. Okay. We should have an appeals process for issues of openness and transparency. Okay. I guess that's really quite reasonable. The question is, should we put it as part of this section or something as an overriding thing? For the whole document, you know, that's the question, right, Constantine?
Yes, well, it was more of a comment on Ken's previous, the last sentence, so,
okay.
So Ken's comment, should there be an appeals process for a candidate that is not accepted in the working group, and I really think that we need to include an appeals process for those situations whereby a candidate is not accepted, but feels like she or he has been treated unfairly.
Yeah,
so,
and this is Ken. I just want to make it clear. My comment was rhetorical. My question was rhetorical.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't advocating that there should be a non-acceptance option.
Okay.
I was just asking the team and the people who prescribed that, you know, if you're going to have somebody who doesn't get accepted, which I'm not advocating, then you need an appeals process if they don't get accepted, right? But if we don't even go there, we can skip all that.
Yeah.
But we have covered somewhere in this document or in the charter document an appeals process for each and everything, right? Correct? We have something like that, correct? I mean, we did discuss that, I know, I just don't know where that there's a de facto appeals process, right?
I don't know if it's in this document. We certainly have one in the template that we're using now. And in my semi-literate comment here, I really did a terrible job. Although I guess people are fairly used to my semi-literacy, that what I'm basically arguing is that I don't know that we need lots of different appeals mechanisms. I think it's very important for the GNSO to develop one for all working groups and all stuff.
Oh, I see.
Pretty much works the same and gets documented in one place, and it's standardized, and that's what this was referring to.
Okay, I think, you know, personally, I think that's a fair thing to try to do. So the only thing we need, if everybody's agreement with that, with me, then the only thing we need to do is make a reference here somewhere in this document saying that everything in this document is subject to that link that Avery's talking about, which is a GNSO-wide appeals mechanism.
And I think that appeals process may indeed be the task of this particular team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And now there's already one written that people can take, look at, and say, yeah, that's adequate. No, it's not adequate, and it needs to be fleshed out. But I think this team that's working on the modalities for a working group is a great place to have developed that.
So if we were to put an appeals process item into our document, where do we all think logically should go in? Under 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or a 6? Where does anybody think? Because we need to assign it somewhere right now, so it's a placeholder, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure this out. Roles and responsibilities.
I know I personally think appeals processes are probably the most important things we can do.
Can we do
something other than the work itself?
Section. Number 7, appeals process.
Yeah, I think it might be important enough to address it up front and call it a 7. What do you think?
Well, I do want to make it clear that there. I think we had identified that as a charter element.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's fine. The question is, it should go somewhere, right? I mean,
should go in the charter itself?
Well, it would be boilerplate. In other words, we would pull out, we would say, you know, as a working group, your charter says to you that there is an appeals process, and here's where you find out where it is, and or it's in the boilerplate, or it's in the charter itself. So this operating model, the team already has from the charter, it already has an appeals process. We can assume that will have already been delivered to the working group.
Okay,
this is what we can assume. I was sure that it was delivered to the working group.
Yeah. I'm saying that from having worked now on the other side on the charter, sort of thing cascades down. The working group will have been given an appeals process.
But if there's a single process for all working groups, which I think there needs to be, because I think, that's personal opinion, I think that needs to be sort of simple, direct, and that's one of the few things where I think there's a one-size-fits-all. While I do agree that every charter needs to include a boilerplate statement that says, you know, you must adhere, you know, there is this appeal process and you must adhere to it, whether it's defined by the modalities group, essentially this group, or whether it's defined by the charter group, I think is somewhat immature. I thought my first instinct was, you know, it is a modality. It's how things work. It has to do with methods and procedures. And so, I mean, it really doesn't matter to me where it gets done, but I just naturally thought it fell here.
So let me encapsulate that in terms of action items. There's going to be at least one or two sections in the charter statement. The first section is simply going to say, hey, it's going to require that everything underneath it, working groups that form, have to follow a set of appeals processes, blah, 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 at a location. That location of how that appeals process is defined can be either in the charter agreement, you know, it's just another section within the charter document, or it goes into here as section 7. Okay? Now, if we decide to put it into the charter section, then my suggestion is, unless other people want to volunteer, in this group we'll assign maybe Constantine, because he brought up the issue. You know, perhaps he'll be assigned to make sure that it's addressed in the charter thing, you know, right? I mean, to make sure that it is addressed. Okay? If we decide to do it, then we will pen it as number 7 and continue. Now, if we didn't do it, so we didn't include it as number 7 in our case, we would still have to make a point somewhere in this document just to remind everyone, just the one line saying that, you know, we will follow whatever appeals process that is in the charter above.
I like that way that you do that. I think there should just be one line in this that says, you know, reminds people that they need to follow the charter process. And I think that, you know, we're all going to be having a chance to look at all that stuff anyway. But I didn't think that it makes it, for structural reasons, I think that it makes sense to have it in the charter, because that is kind of comes to the working group. And so it has a sense of permanency that is may not exist in the way that the operating model works if people want to change it around in the working group. And that gives it, like, that gives it more authority to someone who's trying
passing
to rely
the
on it as a
up.
Process.
Okay. All right. So is there any further thoughts on that? I mean, is that the way we want to go? I mean, is you just have to make a decision now, at least a temporary decision, and then maybe when Scott gets us all together, he can help us decide which way to put it in. But the fact is, we can make a temporary decision of where we think it should go. Any thoughts?
I think that in the charter, this Constantinos, it makes, you know, very good sense. And my only point was that we really need to include it. Now, where it's going to go, I don't think it's really that important, as long as it is included and it is given as an option to the participants.
Okay.
We also have a norms section, right? And it could go there.
Yep. Even though an appeals process is not really norms, is it?
Yeah. I personally, you know, I mean, I understand that it can go inside the norms of one of these sections, but I kind of feel that just for the purposes of, not legal, but just for the purposes of showing that we're a, you know, reformed GNSO, whatever, right, it'd be good to have a whole bullet point separate, wherever it is, either in the charter document or in the working group document, somewhere where it's clearly highlighted, hey, this is an appeals process and it exists, right? I mean, it would just seem natural as part of a reform that to highlight that.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I don't think it makes a difference, right?
Yeah, I know, but yeah. And so I don't see any decision yet of which one we should put it in. So Ken, what do we think we should do here? I mean, whether we should put it in here or take it up there or leave it to the next call to decide, but you know.
I think there was a consensus to put it in the charter, no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think the consensus was put it in the charter, and then it is fine to have an additional reference in the modality which says that there should be the appeals process taken by any, you know, member is consistent with the appeals process set out in the charter.
Aubrey, is that okay with you? I mean,
you're part of the
charter process.
Yeah, no, in fact, I'll even volunteer to work on it in the charter group.
Okay, so then we, what we will do is in a new section 7.1, we'll just put a little title and saying, or one sentence saying, appeals process is being referred back to charter. Okay? All right.
Yep.
So then we can move on with, okay, I guess we are on to, correct me if I'm not right or wrong, whatever, but I'm just moving on to team formation. If I've skipped anybody or anything, let me know quickly. Team formation. Review, charter, mission, goals, time frames, products, and deliverables. Others. Any others so far? I assume none has come in, so that's really what it is?
Yep.
Okay, maybe we don't just, I would think that if we're going to have a separate bullet point for team, it's just just for one, we might want to just break up those points and make it one and two, maybe just to make this look like a section. I don't know, that's just rather than just for one point with all those commas there. Okay, so let's move on to 2.2. It's just a suggestion. Okay, 2.2. Specific.
Just a quick note. It's 2 o'clock. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. So is it a good place to stop? Okay. All right. So at least I think what we've tried to do here and demonstrate is at least taking this very long section. 2.1 is almost a whole page of text here. We've kind of reduced it to something that now is actionable by, you know, a group of very small, just re-editors, essentially, to get it to some kind of a revised interim draft version. I guess, is this what, first of all, let me just ask the group, is this, before we wind up here, is this what, how we want to go through the rest of the document when we get the opportunity to do so?
I think so.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah,
okay.
That's
all right.
That's sort of exactly almost what we did on the other sub-team.
All right. Okay. So I think given that in mind, if the rest of you can go back and if you have any thoughts, and if especially if you're not coming to Sydney, you have any thoughts on the rest of the document, how we're going through this and making up our minds, you know, you could send in some email between now and then. And the other thing is also we will need to alert the others of what we've done today and the opportunity to, first of all, give feedback, and secondly, if they're able to, there's an MP3 recording today, right? So if people wanted to know, you need to tell the others in the team to know that how we've gone through the template process, so if they want to look through that, they can listen to the MP3 and then contribute, and that basically after Sydney, you know, after that Sunday or Monday, we really are looking at a document that is, you know, it can be modified later, but it's getting some structure now, and we're reaching, you know, it's going to be harder and harder to really restructure it in completely different ways.
Exactly. I mean, whoever sends the email to buy, can we make sure that we sell to everybody who is not on this call that basically up until Sydney is their last opportunity to make any insertions that they wish to be considered as part of the operations in charter?
Yeah, no, I think that people can still, you know, object to a point or two or define later on, I believe. I think that's what we're talking about further down the road, right? However, the real point is that it's going to be very difficult to restructure this document after.
Exactly.
Taking a role and a form and changing, you know, changing whole sections or moving things around, you know, that's going to get very difficult. Okay. All right, so we'll just make, between Ken and myself, we'll make sure of that. And is there any other thoughts, any other comments by anyone else before we wind up here?
See you in Sydney.
Okay, see you in Sydney.
Enjoy Sydney, guys.
Okay, Ken, I just wanted to talk to you so we can wrap
up. You and I can just hang on for just another second.
Okay.
And,
okay. All right,
bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, bye.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, we won't stop. We won't stop the recording just yet.
Okay, you want me to wait?
No.
Okay, yeah, so I just want to make sure that, is this what you're looking for, at least in template form to go forward? I mean, everything's covered? I mean,
yeah,
is there...
yeah, that worked out pretty well. As you can see, the more people you have on the call, the longer it takes, but the idea is to harmonize the comments, try to figure out, because some people put things in, and not all the things they put in necessarily are correct. And so you have to sort of work your way through, should it belong, and if so, why, and that's what we did, and we did, I guess, section 2.1, right, 2.0, 2.1.
I mean, we've got a long way to go, but at least, and no, but the point also remains that not everybody would be at the next session, whatever, whenever, whatever that is, in Sydney or not. But the point is that those who are on this session who will not be on the next one will know how we are proceeding through this, at least now. So that's
If you want, I can take a shot at cleaning up section 2-1,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, if you can do that, that would
yeah,
be great. And the other thing is, when you shoot this email, because you will necessarily have to shoot an email now to everybody,
mm-hmm.
for, finalizing the Sydney meeting, right? I mean, essentially what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would I just wanted to go over the checklist with you to make sure what's there. One is that if you wanted to wait to clean up the 2.1 to show them that this is what we did, you know, maybe it may be worth it, but it's up to you. If you don't want to do that, that's fine too. Just shoot an email without that. But the main thing is to point out that, hey, we did go through this, and we, as a template, we went through 2.1, and you can check it on the MP3, number one. And number two, there's if you really want to make serious changes of the way the structure is and everything, you better get it in by Sydney. Okay, after that, it's going to be just a limited kind of changes. Okay, and then number three is turn up in Sydney, and you know, I think it'll be really useful if possible. We write when you say please turn up in Sydney, if you can actually list the names of people who are likely to be there. So that the thing we don't want is everybody thinks nobody's coming and then nobody comes, right? Right.
Well, I think those that are coming
have already made their plan.
It's not
going to
be
truly coming. Yeah, you and so on, myself and Tim and so on. You know, you can be a little wrong, but you can say, well, I think these people are coming. You know, that would be useful.
Yeah, what we haven't figured out. I mean, we already have a session set up for the working group team. I forget, it's on Sunday, I think. Sunday.
Yeah, but it's two separate rooms, I guess, for the two people, two subgroups.
Well, that's right. The part that hasn't been done yet.
It doesn't matter. I think it's so small we can go into a lobby.
Well, yeah,
and
the charter group is just Avery and a couple of us can go off and or I can stay with you guys and they can work on the other one. But yeah, you're right. The rooms shouldn't be a factor.
I think we have to get
Scott's agreement that my advice was going to be that during that hour and a half, that the first hour and 15 minutes be used in the two sub-teams to keep working like you just did, right?
Correct, yeah.
The problem is, in an hour and 15 minutes, you may get through 2.2 and 2.3.
Correct, I understand.
The process we're using is woefully inefficient, and it's going to take a month of Sundays for us to get...
No, that's why I'm thinking if there's a smaller group of four or five people in there, and then, you know, we get to about... You know, in about 2 or 3 hours, we could get it done, I think.
The allocated time on the agenda for...
I think what you should... Maybe what you can say is you allocate that time, and then you could say the work's going to take at least in our subgroup, you know, possibly double that. And for those who can stay on later, we'll continue with it, you know.
Mm.
I mean, there's no other way. Despite the fact that we're taking an inefficient process, you know, this is the only way to go. I mean, unless we just go, you know, really, you know, just say, look, we are going to go through this list, you know, line by line, and just keep moving. We're not going to get there, right? You know, so.
Yeah. One of the things that sort of helped with the other group, and this might there's at least another potential strategy here,
okay.
And that is to say, Sabaya and Ken and Gray Graham are going to.
Yeah.
Work in a sub-team to clean up this outline. Does anybody object if they do that?
Yeah, I understand. I just think about that. Maybe I do know that one or two of these things. I think things like the norm section. I think it's going to be one could take the view that if it was just a few people, you can make decisions quicker. But it would also seem that's the kind of place that I think a lot more people want input. You know, So we have to decide. Maybe what we do is in this email, hey, I've got to compromise again. Why don't we just put in this email, look, that, you know, we're going to spend the first half an hour going through, you know, 1.5 hours, whatever we get, 1 hour going through these documents, right? And we may choose not to do it in chronological order. I mean, you don't have to say that part. What we can do is when we get there, just pick the ones that are important and get that done first. They're important to people. But the point to make in the email is that we'll go an hour and a half, and we'll see what we can get through. We think there's about 3 hours worth of stuff to do. And if we can, for those things that we cannot meet, there'll be a subgroup of two or three people, and that includes Zubaya and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and anybody else who may care to join to stay on for another hour and a half to finish it. How about that?
We can try it.
Okay, and then so we up front say it already right now so that people are aware that's an approach we're going to try to take.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I can just, I know that if a, even if it's just a few or a five or six people and we're all in a room together, I think, you know, we will tend to get it done fast. I mean, you know, we'll get it done. I mean, I suspect that will happen, you know. Right?
Okay.
There's
yep.
a trap. There's nowhere else to go unless you have another meeting, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Well, I'll summarize all this and get an email out to everybody, and I'll also do some work on 2-1 so you don't have to mess with it. I'll go ahead and clean up the outline and just indicate that one's completed.
Yeah, and then we can go. Okay.
Very
all
good.
Right.
All right. Nice hearing your voice again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.